Okay. I'm going to move this to the side because otherwise I'm going to want to sit on it all the time. And then I might fall like Sally. So usually when I come stand up here, I do like 3 minutes offering message. So that's why I printed this little baby. When you prepare for scientific presentations and you say you work on a minute a slide. Minute a slide. Well, I've heard you work on half an hour a page. I've got 5 pages, so yeah, okay, so before we start, let's just pray, because I'm really trusting God for what he wants to do. So close your eyes, please. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that we can all just be gathered here, Father God, and thank you, Lord, that I know that you are going to speak, Lord, and I'm just the instrument in your hand, Father. And, yeah, Lord, I just pray and trust you for an encounter with you, Father God, and people to see your heart through what I'm saying, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so, who of you have ever been in love? If you are married or engaged, please put up your hand. Because that would be a little bit awkward. Okay, so I'm not going to talk about romantic love, just so you know, because I'm not married or engaged. But I'm going to talk about experiencing God's love, and for that you don't have to be married or engaged. So yeah, to start off with, I'm going to read some scriptures. Scriptures that I... let's read it first. Okay, first scriptures, Romans 8, verse 37 to 39. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then we also have Romans 5 verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Okay, so these scriptures, you know, you've probably heard them before. I've definitely heard them before. I've probably have read them before to people, but I could not relate. At all. I did not believe that nor height nor depth or anything else in all creation could separate me from the love of God. I couldn't, like, I knew he loved me, but I couldn't, it just wasn't real. It wasn't something that I experienced in my life. I knew he died for me, but I couldn't, it wasn't like every time I think of the cross, I think it's for me. Sort of, I'm like, yeah, okay, there's other people, it's for the other people. I'm just sort of one of them. But actually, what it means is, even if it was just me, then he would have still died for me. But I didn't get that at all. So I had a very, very misrepresented idea of what it means to be loved, what it means to experience God's love, and I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't take it up and make it my own. It was just too difficult for me. And so to give you a little bit of background, let's go to this one. What I believed myself about love was, without even realizing it, is that I had to perform to be loved. That I had to be, sort of had to be something to be loved. Girls at school, they all have boyfriends, so, you know, they're pretty, okay, so they receive love. So I'm not that, so then I can't receive love, which makes it difficult if you sort of believe that about all the circumstances. You think that's what it's telling you, then this is what you're going to believe, which is obviously not the truth. So how I discovered that, that's what we're going to get to. First page, not half an hour, doing all right. My past... I have a dad that is not great with his love languages. he is great with the one that he uses, but that's not the one that I understand even at all. He likes acts of service, which I don't really care much for. And I'm going to learn because apparently most guys like acts of service. Anyway, That's why I'm single. I'm more of a words of affirmation type of person. My dad, he doesn't get there, you know. It's really a difficult thing for him. And as a baby, or like a very young girl, toddler growing up, I knew my dad loved me. But when I started growing older, I was like, okay, but why are you not telling me that you love me? I really need you to tell me that you love me. And obviously, I don't know, most of you know or don't know, but a dad has a very important role in speaking identity into your life. So if you have the desire to hear that he loves you and he doesn't, then it's very difficult to believe that anyone else sort of loves you. So that was my battle. You know, it was, I knew he loved me, but again, I just couldn't take up that one because I just didn't get it the way that I needed to experience it. And what my dad didn't do anything wrong. I just didn't understand. Like I completely misunderstood him, and well, him, me, you know, it was just this big, big communication gap. So then I had this experience with my dad. Growing up, or as a Christian, after I got saved, that's like one of the bigger issues that I've had to deal with is daddy issues, you know. And it's not always easy. It's not always too easy to forgive him for something that he didn't do, sort of thing. So then last year I had a experience with my dad. I was in a car accident and I rode off my car, and I was fine. But my car was not there anymore. And it was a very difficult situation because financially my dad couldn't provide. And he so badly wanted to. And in that moment, when we had the conversation about it, I could see my dad at his most vulnerable, and it absolutely broke my heart. Like, absolutely, it killed me. I did not like seeing that side of him, and I actually, for once, I could start seeing the love that he had for me. When I was practicing this afternoon, I was bawling. So I think I'm doing all right. and I told Elisa, I'm like, Louise, if I feel I'm going to cry, I'm going to make a joke. So that was it. But the crying might still come. For the first time, I could actually see his heart and start to in that relate to God the Father. But I'm gonna come back to that. Then another experience that influenced my way of thinking. So as I mentioned, during school, I never had a boyfriend. And then, then I still thought, okay, I'm not good enough, you know, all that self-image issues that we deal with. And then when I got saved, I actually started taking up the identity of God, and my self-image became better. And then a few years in, I got a godly boyfriend. what a mistake. To think that was, like, perfect. No offense, godly guys. Just to think that a godly person is perfect, you know, that's the mistake. And to think that I am perfect, because I sure did think I was perfect. Because I thought, so all my friends at school had relationships and they had random hookups and stuff like that, but I didn't. So, you know, I made it. I'm okay. So I put myself on this pedestal where I was, where I actually just placed myself above grace. And, you know, God died for me, but he died more for someone else because I'm not that bad. I'm all right, you know. I don't need the grace that he's giving that much because my life is all right. I'm pretty much sorted. So then I have this this boyfriend, which was a very cool experience. And then it turned a little bit to the other side of cool. So then it was less cool. We had a very selfish relationship and a very lustful relationship. So we, all that stuff, which completely broke down my idea of relationships even further. So now my first My first encounter with intimacy was now physical intimacy, which is obviously not what intimacy with God is even at all about. So I had no idea. I had no idea how to relate with intimacy with God, because when I think intimacy, I think about my ex-boyfriend and, you know, whatever. So misconception completely. And from that relationship, I got so into, I just couldn't forgive myself. I just couldn't forgive myself. I couldn't go to the next step where I was free from the shame and free from the guilt. And you sort of start, you want to punish yourself because you feel sort of like looking back now, I can almost say that I didn't experience, like God didn't punish me. So I had to punish myself because he wasn't, like, why wasn't he punishing me? I did something very wrong, you know. I went completely off base of what I believed and what I grew up to know and all of that. Why is he not punishing me? So I kept this guilt, kept it, like walking with it, because someone needed to punish me. The one guy in cell, he gave a great example the other day. We were talking about holding grudges. So I'm holding a grudge against myself if I can't forgive myself and receive the forgiveness that God's given me. So he says, you're like holding this thing, and you're walking around, and you think it's like punishing the other person or you know, keeping the other person, making them feel bad, but actually you're just hurting yourself. So I'm walking around with this thing, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, God's going to love me more because I'm not letting go of my guilt. But actually, if you leave it, then you can so much better tap into what he has for you. So why am I telling you all of this? This is what I believe. This is the experiences that I had that shaped my way of thinking about God, that shaped the way that I thought love was, I had this block that I couldn't enter into a relationship with God that was real, because I was just so deceived. I believed so many lies about myself and about the way that God felt about me because of lies that I believed about people, you know, and I thought God was the same as people, and he's not. So then how did it change for me? And God has a funny way of doing these things. We were praying this afternoon, and I was thanking God for the journey that we've gone through, and just how, and I said to him, I actually don't have to preach tonight, because it's been such an amazing experience for me, just spending the time with him and having a great time with him, and I experienced him sitting there going like, ha ha. And I just couldn't. It was hilarious. He's just like, okay, you think this is enough? And he laughs. Okay, it was funny. Anyway, so how did my perception change? I had very, very real encounters with a very, very living God. Now, let's just start with the first one. They're not in chronological order, but they are in the order that I think they are applicable. So the first one is, I forgot I had slides. The first one is, Almost Dad is a deliverance, he's a minister's in deliverance. And he was here earlier this year. And so after much thought and wondering and thinking, oh my goodness, what if I manifest and climb the walls? I did go. I did not climb the walls. So, you know, I'm still all right. what's up with this? Spider girl. that was, for me, a very, very cool experience. Because he starts with a deliverance part where, obviously, you know, depending on what happens, it determines where he goes from there. But for me, he did more of inner healing type thing. So the things that I say to him, I wanted to, you know, things that have been issues in the past is my relationship with my ex and not letting go, and then something else, which is not applicable tonight. And then So we prayed about it, and how it works is he leads you in like praying to God. So he asks a question, and then you like he says to you, ask God this, and then you say, God, question. Okay. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he ministers to you. Now that's the really cool part. Because it's not a person. It's not someone telling you something. This is for real. It's not something someone whispering something in your ear and you think you're hearing it. This is like, you know, you didn't just think up this. This is God speaking directly. So what happened was we were dealing with the boyfriend shame issue. And I asked Jesus, because you can also you can split it into distinguish between Father God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. So I asked Jesus, where was he, like, or what does he think of me? Or I can't exact something like that. But anyway, the image that the Holy Spirit gave me was of the cross. And I was in front of the cross, but I was like on my knees, broken. I couldn't look at the cross. I didn't want to face it. I just couldn't take the cross and make it my own. I was on my knees, completely broken, but the cross was, it was there, but it was no reality for me. And then we, broke off the lies, and forgiveness and forgiving myself was obviously the biggest thing. And broke the lie of shame and all of that. And then I asked Jesus again, like, what does he give me a picture? What is the truth? Or, you know, just tell me, what is the truth? And I got a picture of the cross this time, but I was dancing in front of the cross. Which is a little bit, at first, you're like, oh, okay. But for me, that was so amazing because it means I could receive what he did on that cross. I could take what he gave me that day. I wasn't lying there not looking at the cross. I was looking at the cross and I could rejoice about the freedom that I got. In that moment, the shame was gone. I've not struggled with lust since. Like, it's amazing. It's just amazing because I could just take up what he did for me in that moment. That was so real because the scriptures, John 3 verse 16, meant nothing, absolutely nothing. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit showing me exactly what he feels and what the truth is, what's the reality of the cross for me, it changed my life, like completely. So then after that, I can read scriptures like, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. More than a multitude of sins. I can take that and I'm like, oh yeah, that's for me. I sinned over a multitude. Probably still am. And Ephesians 2 verse 4 and 5, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. I mean, your grace is, it's amazing. That's not something you can earn. It's not like I climbed the cross and then he gave me grace and then I got saved. No. Nothing. I was on my knees. I did nothing. He was on the cross even when I was still doing what I was doing. He was still giving me grace. And the thing about grace, which is completely different message on its own, it doesn't stop when you get your salvation. It just keeps going. Like, keeps going. It's grace that you're still here. It's grace every time you get up. It's grace every time God's happy with you. I mean, come on. And he is. Like, honestly, he is. And then this scripture, I had a conversation with someone about it a while ago. And I actually only realized the importance of it in my life when I was preparing for the sermon. It's Luke 7, verse 47. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. It's a woman. As her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. So I always thought, you know, I was forgiven little, so I don't love a lot. But I was forgiven just as much as the other person. And that, like, that really, when I was preparing, I read that again, and it just became so real that I have been forgiven so much, so much. And that love, that just makes my capacity for loving so much greater. Okay, so now we're on to the next encounter that I had with God. So after that conversation with my dad that I told you about, I had to drive home from where we live to George, which is a 3.5-hour drive, best time in the car with God. And I was doing, like Bernard van Thorne says, the ugly cry. So, I was just so broken by, I struggled to relate, and I was feeling so bad because my dad was so vulnerable, and there was just this gap. And then I really experienced in that moment was, I think, my first very, very real experience with God's love. Didn't do anything magic, nothing specific, but I just knew in that moment while I was driving in the car, he just told me that whatever I mean to my dad, and however broken he is about something, God is so much more broken, and his heart is so much more for me. Like that glimpse that I got of my own dad is not even a dribble and an ember of what God, like Father God, feels about me. And that started a season of knowing what God's love is, a season of being very much in love with God, like very much, and it was very weird at the time, where I was literally like, I was giddy, like I was, like I get giggle, I was giggling, and I was just so excited about anything that God does, or maybe, you know, he thinks about me, or anything like that. And while I was in that season, I knew that there was a depth coming, and part of this story is the depth that he, you know, sort of he gave, or he created, in a way. Then the next encounter that I had was, I was driving in the car as well, and I shared this in the morning service a while back. I had this very, very deep desire for God to just show me how he feels about me, because I was sick of hearing it from people or getting my affirmation from people. I really wanted God to come and tell me. So my specific words, and I'm an Afrikaans person, my specific words were, God, I want to hear that you adore me. I want you to tell me you adore me. Okay, don't know why I would say that. So then a few weeks after that, we had people prophesy over us, and that was, the guy was going on about other things, a book, and I don't know what. And then he says to me, God just wants to say to you that he adores you. And I was like, what? Why would you even say that? And it was word for word what I asked God to hear. Like, he pays attention. He really pays attention, even when you're Afrikaans and you're speaking English. And then after that sort of just, you know, the in love weirdness, because it's weird. It's weird to be in love with someone you can't see. Doesn't write letters, buy chocolates, can't see, or whatever people do when they love. I really started experiencing God physically, and that for me was a massive breakthrough. Like, it was so amazing, because that's maybe, I think, my other love language is physical touch. So I was actually on the beach, and I was just sort of just chilling, enjoying the weather. It was a beautiful day, and I was sort of dancing a little bit. And then as I was doing that, I stopped. I stood still for a moment, and I could literally like feel like God's presence. I could feel him like right behind me, like almost, you know, if he was a person, I would feel his arms on my arms, but I could literally feel him. And I know it sounds weird. Like if this is something that you've never, because that's how I responded when people told me stuff like this. It's like, no, you're kidding. No, there's no way. That's how you feel. It's weird. It is very weird. But I promise you, I'm not lying. This is very real. This is very, and that's why I'm sharing this message tonight, because I'm gonna get to that. Okay, then the last encounter, and this for me, this is a good one. I like this one. We were in Mozambique a while back, and there was a lady doing sessions, inner healing sessions, and I went to her because, you know, you can never sort out enough of your issues, so you just keep going, just keep going back. So we went there again, and she said to me, "Is there anything specific that you want to, you know, deal with?" I'm like, "No, you know, I've done encounter, I've done this and this and this." She's like, okay, so let's just see what God wants to do. And yeah, he blew both her and my mind. It was amazing. It was so cool. So it works the same. You ask God, he gives you a picture, he gives you a word, and you go from there. So I ask God, I think you start with, what lie do you believe about your father on earth? And I got a picture of something that I saw when I was a little girl. It was on a television program, and I won't go into details, but it was something that disturbed me. Like, I can even now, and I was very, very young, I don't think I was in school yet, I can even now recall it, exactly what happened on the television program. And it really made an image, you know, it's just the aftrak gemaakt, it made a mark. Like, I just couldn't get it out. And my parents were actually very strict. Like, we weren't allowed to watch any TV programs. They were very good with it. And I thought about it today. We never after that watched that program ever again. Like, it was just that one time. And and so then I told the facilitator, so this is the image that I get, and she says, "Okay, let's ask God, where was he? Where was he in this whole situation?" So I can see this myself, young girl, sitting in front of the television, and on the side is God the Father. He's standing there, and he's trying to distract me. He's walking in front of the television, and then he's trying to get my attention, but I don't see him. I'm looking at the screen, and it's like imprinting on me. That's the word. And we asked, and then I told her that, and we asked God, what was the lie that I was believing about him? And the Holy Spirit told me that I was believing that he's a distant God, that he's not right there. Like, he's not right there. He's not fighting for me. He's not protecting me. He's not there when I get hurt or when I'm scared or when difficult things happen like that. He's not, you know, he's God, but I can't relate. Once again, he's far away. And now this is the way I'm not going to make a joke. And then I asked God, but what's the truth? And then the Holy Spirit shows me a picture of God walking in with a baseball bat, and he smashes that TV into pieces. Like, it was, I was so, it was so cool when I saw that. Because, I mean, how can I can't think that up. That's God. That is God. And he says, "I was there. I was right there, and I wasn't trying to protect you. I took it away. I took all of it away." And that memory, like, now, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt when I think about it. It doesn't affect me, because I know that that is, even though it happened, he was right there and he was protecting me in that moment. He was fighting for me in that moment. Because the thing is, God cannot always, even though he wants to so badly, he wants to intervene. He cannot always intervene, but he's right there. He is right there, and he's fighting for us. And that changed completely how I thought about God the Father. Completely. I couldn't relate to God the Father. I couldn't, look to God the Father as something that's real, because it felt far off. Because maybe about, because of my relationship with my dad. And then, let's just quickly read the scripture. Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Now that scripture I could relate to, because I knew he was fighting for me. He loved me enough to intervene. Okay. So what's the beauty about this situation? First off, for once, I could actually believe Scripture. I could believe that what it says, that He died for me. I could believe He died for me. And then the other part, which is really cool, is I know that I don't have to rely on people to heal me. I don't have to rely on people to affirm me. I don't have to rely on people to make whatever hurts better. I can rely on God Himself, because God Himself comes in and He shows the way. God Himself comes and He changes the way that you think about yourself. He changes the way that you think about grace. He shows you that you deserve grace just as much. And He gives it to you regardless. He shows you that, He shows you who you are. You know, another thing I was reminded of is before I got saved, I was really like, and you're not, I know, people don't believe me when I say this. I was very shy. I was very, very shy. I couldn't, like, really, it wasn't nice for me to speak in front of people. I didn't like it. I didn't like, you know, I blushed like this. Sometimes I still do, but it's less. And God, like, really, God established who I am. He established my identity so good. And it's encounters with Him. It's real. I mean, Scripture still doesn't always make sense to me. I still don't always believe it. But also I realize that Scripture, it's not an opinion. It's a fact. So I'm going to read this quote to you. God's unfailing love for us is an objective fact affirmed over and over in the Scriptures. It is true whether we believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love, nor does our faith create it. It originates in the very nature of God, who is love, and it flows to us through our union with His beloved Son. So let's just think about this. God says that He loves us, and He sends His Son. Okay, you don't believe it. Does it change it? No. If you don't believe it, it doesn't change the fact. It's a fact. What you feel is a feeling. It's an emotion. It can be changed. It can change when you start believing God. So how do you start believing God? You have an encounter like I had, and it's amazing. And I'm going to get to that now as well again. Or the other thing that I still keep doing, because I still don't believe Scripture all the time, I do what Donnie taught us, and I say it over and over. I have looked myself in the mirror once and said, wow, God created something beautiful. I have done that. Yeah, I have done that before. And it was super difficult. And I was laughing at myself while I was doing it, because it's weird. But it works. I promise you. It works. It works to proclaim Scripture even if you don't believe it, because it's the fact, and it changes your feelings. It changes your reality, because it's not the reality. The reality is what God says. And I can believe things like, I don't even know if I put them on there. Some of them I might have put on there. I can believe things like I was created in the image of God. I mean, come on, in the image of God. I can believe things like I'm the righteousness of God. That's Donnie's favorite. And I can believe things like I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, come on. That's pretty cool. And the best of all, I can for once now believe that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Because he showed me that He's right there. And I really want all of you to understand that this is not something that I can do because I'm some special sort of person. This is not something that I can do. This is something that is for every one of us. Every single one of us can experience God's love as real as I did. Every one of us can feel Him physically. Every one of us can have an encounter where He shows you how He fights for you. And He doesn't stop once. He's continually fighting for you. And I know this might be a little bit of a fluffy message for some guys, but it's the truth. And I'm sure you have the need of affirmation, and you have the need of knowing that there's someone that loves you more than your girlfriend or your wife or your dad. And whatever happens, it can't get to you because God loves you. And that for me was the best part. The best part for me is that I can receive my dad's love and try to understand my dad's love because I'm filled with love. Because I know God's love, then other people's love or lack thereof, it doesn't hurt as much. Because I get filled first, and then after that, whatever comes extra is added on. So it takes so much pressure off other people. Because, I mean, I'm not necessarily an easy person, so it's not necessarily easy for people to love me. But God loves me, so he fills, and everything else just gets added to that. Okay, so my greatest, greatest desire is for you to have an encounter like that. It's for you to experience God. So we have a few options of how we can do that. You can start looking in the mirror and speaking scripture over yourself. Don't say, Nalita says I'm pretty. Say, I am. God says it's the truth. And then you can also come to something like Encounter 4 and have an experience of God. Have an experience of what he wants to do in your life. Because he will set you free. He will set you free. Or come and speak to Cornell and I, and we'll facilitate your first like inner healing session. I did inner healing with myself the other night. I did. Still have issues. It's really cool. You can, because we can facilitate it, but then from there you keep going on your own. You keep going every time something comes up and it hurts and it keeps, there's always just something. You can do that. And then we can also have a little practical right now. So that is what we're going to do. I just want to tell you, I think one of these slides has a few scriptures. I'm not going to read them. They're just there so that for you to read, to know that if any of you, if you're worried that you can't hear God's voice, that's not true. You can hear God's voice. Everyone can hear God's voice. God speaks to every single one of us. I only recently started believing that I can hear God's voice. And, so that's so you know. So we, in this exercise that we're going to do now, God himself is going to speak to you. I am going to ask a question that you are going to ask to God, and he's going to speak to you. And if you don't hear anything, that's fine. Don't stress. Don't worry about it. He is there, and he does speak to you. He does speak to every one of us, and he does want you to have this experience. Don't stress. You're not going to tell anyone. It's just you. I might ask one or two people afterwards if they want to share, but that's not the point. I'll ask the volunteers if people put up their hand. Okay. So if you can close your eyes. So what you're going to do is I'm just going to ask a question, and you just ask God, and then you hear what he says, and then I'm going to ask another question, and that's just the way we're going to do it. Okay, so first question. Say, Father God, what must I forgive my earthly father for? Okay, so you ask what you must forgive your earthly father for. And when you've got that answer, then you say, Father God, what did that make me believe about you? Then ask God, what is the truth about him? Say, God, what is the truth about you? And then ask him, Father God, what do you think about me? Okay, so the last question you must just ask God, what does he think about you? If you're done, you can maybe write it down to remember it, because you're going to want to look at it again. Father God, we just thank you for, we can know that you're right here, Father, and that you speak to every single one of us, and that you want to have a real relationship with every single one of us. That we can all have an experience of who you are, an experience of the love that you have for us, and what you say about us, and how you feel about us overrides what everyone or anyone else says. Thank you, Lord, that we can experience you and hear directly from you. And thank you, Father, that you just really love us and want to come heal us. You want to give us the truth. You want to come and replace the lies with the truth. Amen. Is there anyone that would like to share what they experienced?
Thank you, much. Thank you. I'll just share the last question, how God feels about me. So he showed me the sea, and I was thinking about God. When I think, the sea always reminds me about God's faithfulness, just like the waves coming in. It's predictable isn't the right word, but you can depend on the waves coming in, going out, coming in, going out. And so I thought, I kind of felt like God said to me, you know, you are faithful like that as well. And that means a lot to me at the moment, because I'm sometimes a bit, or like the last while, I've been a bit with myself about a few things. So, it just means a lot to me right now of God telling me that I'm faithful in the same image that he is faithful, that I always think of him, of his faithfulness.
I honestly didn't expect to see anything all. So then when I closed my eyes, I saw what felt like a depth. I think, okay, that's interesting, it's like a depth. And then I saw a flash of like sunglasses. And then immediately I was reminded of when me and my dad went to a Lichtdoring. Cape Gallus, I think. Cape Gallus Light Tower. And we went up there, and I think I gave my hat to my dad. And my sunglasses were on that, and he put it on. It was on there. And he took his hat off, and the sunglasses just fell all the way down and smashed the bottom. And I saw this, and I'm like, oh, that's horrible. And I was like, no. I was angry. I was very angry. It's funny because I can't remember how I felt, but then I remember I felt very angry. And when you asked what I would feel, what that made me feel, I felt, I guess, that my dad didn't care about me. It's a funny thing to think, but I thought, like, he didn't care about my stuff by doing that. He didn't care about me. And then I just felt God say, like, lift up your head, it's fine. I do care about you. And he's already taken me way past the way I didn't believe that anymore, but it's funny that I remember that. Yeah. Don't keep against my dad, though.
Anyone else have a desperate desire to share?
Oh, yes. So I don't know if you know, but I've got two dogs. But they're like my kids. Like I'll be carrying them now the whole time if I could. And when I thought of the question of what God was feeling about me, I just saw them, and I thought, it doesn't matter what they do. Like, they can do anything. I hate like being angry at them. I hate that. I don't want to give them hidings. Like, I just want to like love them the whole time and hold them and just want to play with them the whole time. And that's what I was thinking about when I asked God what he was feeling about me. And I felt this warmth in my heart, like it was almost stabbing through my chest. And it's quite cool. God speaking to us all, eh?
See, now that's the very cool part, because I didn't ask them to do that. That's what God told them, and it's really there for everyone. And Yeah, if you didn't experience anything, I'd love for you to come and talk to me. Like, really, because I know that it is there for everyone. I know it as a fact. And, yeah.